Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Oh, danced and jumped high, roaring like thunder and moving in a circle like a wheel. He appeared like a circling firebrand. Purport. If a burning cinder of a firebrand is whirled about very swiftly, it gives the appearance of a circle of fire. This is called Alata Akara or Alata Chakra, a firebrand circle. This whole circle is not actually made of fire, but it is a single fire in motion. Similarly, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a single personality, but when he danced and jumped high in a circle, he appeared like the Alata Chakra. So we hear in this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita a little bit about the extraordinary attractive dancing of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's another verse which describes this. Wherever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stepped while dancing, the whole earth with its hills and seas appeared to tilt. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, he displayed various blissful transcendental changes in his body. Sometimes he appeared as though stunned. Sometimes the hairs of his body stood on end. Sometimes he perspired, cried, trembled, and changed color. And sometimes he exhibited symptoms of helplessness, of pride, of exuberance and humility. Would you like to hear what happened when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell down while dancing? When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell down with a crash, thank you very much, while dancing, he would roll on the ground. At such times, it appeared that a golden mountain was rolling on the ground. Nityananda Prabhu would stretch out his two hands and try to catch the Lord when he was running here and there. Advaita Acharya would walk behind the Lord and loudly chant, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, again and again. Now, it's very interesting. This may be for Chandralatika very interesting. There was a huge crowd when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced. Do you know why there was a big crowd? They were attracted to the Lord. Yes, and they were especially attracted to the loving transcendental emotions of the Lord, which he would distribute to those who joined the kirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed love of Godhead through the holy name. So as he was chanting, it was known that now we will, if we join the kirtan, obtain love of Godhead. The crowd was simply there, like if you in India, you open a honey glass, then immediately there will be a crowd of honeybees who know to relish the taste of honey. So when Mahaprabhu would enter into the kirtan mode, the honey glass of love of Godhead was opened and immediately there was a crowd. Hare Krishna. So this needed some traffic regulations, and we will hear now about the traffic regulations. Just to check the crowds from coming too near the Lord, the devotees form three circles. Maybe we should try this next time. The first circle was guided by Nityananda Prabhu, who's Balaram himself, the possessor of great strength. All the devotees headed by Kashishwara and Govinda linked hands and formed a second circle around the Lord, and Maharaj Prataparudra and his personal assistants, these were all ministers and the army people, they formed a third circle around the two inner circles just to check the crowds from coming too near. With his hands on the shoulders of Harichandan, King Prataparudra could see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing, and the king felt great ecstasy. Far out. This means the circle was formed by devotees placing their hands on the shoulders of each other. So there was once led by Nitai. And I can imagine it also was not just a standing circle. Who could stand in this kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It must have been a moving circle. So we can do this also. One moving circle, then around it another moving circle, and a third one and another. Or the temple room, why do we have these pillars in the middle? It can be arranged actually even with pillars. Needs a little choreography, but then it can be done. So something happened, which I feel is very important. When the king beheld the dancing, Shivas Thakur, standing in front of him, became ecstatic as he saw the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can now see the distribution of love of Godhead. Seeing Shivas Thakur standing before the king, Harichandan, this was the general of Prataparudra, touched Shrivas with his hand and requested him to step aside. After all, he was blocking the view of the king. But Shrivas was absorbed in watching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance. And he could not understand why he was being touched at this moment and pushed. After he was pushed again and again, he became angry. Oops, now Shivas Thakur is angry. Shivas Thakur slapped Harichandan, patch, to stop him from pushing him. In turn, this made Harichandan angry. After all, he's a general. I mean, if you give a general a slap, he will not remain peaceful because of an accumulation of the false ego. So, as the angered Harichandan was about to speak to Shrivas Thakur, Prataparudra Maharaj, the king, personally stopped him. King Prataparudra said, "You are very fortunate, for you have been graced by the touch of Shrivas Thakur." It's a blessing. "I'm not so fortunate. You should feel obliged to him." Obliged means you should feel, you should give him now something to express your appreciation. Everyone was astonished by the dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and even Lord Jagannath became extremely happy to see him. It continues how Lord Jagannath then forcibly stopped the kirtan. Yes, thank you very much. No, we can put it here. We can safely put it here. Lord Jagannath just stopped the cart, not the kirtan, and looked with unblinking eyes on the dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and on this particular scene. Why have we chosen this scene today? Well, after touching the last few days on the Guru Tattva, that the Lord appears as the spiritual masters, we want to go now directly to the Lord in His incarnation as the devotees of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in the role of Srivas Thakur in particular, in the role of the devotee of the Lord. I wanted to discuss today a little bit on the Vaishnavas, where the Vaishnavas tattva. This Vaishnava tattva, or the Vaishnavas, are led, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, by Srivas Thakur. The scriptures, it is said very clearly that the Lord wishes to be approached through His devotees. In the Sandilya Smriti, there's a beautiful verse which is quoted by Baladev Vidyabhushana in the Vedanta Sutra. It appears in the Chaitanya Bhagavat as well. And this verse says, there is doubt whether or not the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will attain perfection. There's a doubt. Maybe the servants of the Lord will attain perfection, maybe not. But there is absolutely no doubt that those who are attached to serving the devotees of the Lord will attain perfection. Ananda Gopal, what to do with you? You are resting. Maybe you want to stand up for a while and maybe pull your cheek. A good point to press in acupuncture is here, that, you know, in this grin. It's very painful also. I guess that's the reason when you feel asleep and you press it. In martial arts, that's one point where you have to hit to really bring your enemy down to the ground. But anyways, we don't want to talk about this point now. We want to make another point. When you serve directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you may be still so much filled with anattas, and you may even make offenses. But when you are serving His devotees, you will be freed from both anattas and offenses. In devotee association, we have to be very, very, very careful to not commit Vaishnava aparad, that is, hurting the devotees in any ways. If we want to come close to Krishna, we must be very loving and very supportive with His dear devotees. Now there are six. In the Skanda Purana, we hear of six ways how to commit Vaishnava aparad. And they start with gross ways and then become more subtle and more subtle and more subtle. If you hear the gross types of Vaishnava aparad, you will most probably say, no, I'm not doing this. Thanks God. But as you hear the progression and it gets subtle and subtle, you will most probably begin to think of whether or not you're doing this sometimes or not. Here are the offenses. Killing a Vaishnava. I must say, I will read them now to you. And it is said, all these heinous actions. Heinous, what means heinous? What? Disgusting, yeah, in Croatian. Heinous is... It's really like bad, what? Odratam. Yes. All these heinous actions lead to one's fall. This is killing a Vaishnava, that's where it starts. Criticizing a Vaishnava. Being envious of a Vaishnava. Not offering a happy dobrodošli when a Vaishnava comes. Showing anger at a Vaishnava. And the last is becoming unhappy upon seeing a Vaishnava. All of these heinous actions lead to one's fall. See, sometimes maybe we feel, oh no, oh, not him again. This is not good. It will lead us a little bit, it will lead us away from our goal, that is Krishna. I will talk a little bit what to do when there is an intense vibration between you and another Vaishnava. But for now, I would like to establish the principles that only by pleasing the Vaishnavas, that means only by avoiding an aparat against the Vaishnava, can you actually please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a beautiful example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of someone who really lost the mercy of Krishna when he offended Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur, again, is the leader of the Vaishnavas. You know, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement was just forming itself in Navadvip, Mahaprabhu would conduct kirtans in the spacious house of Srivas Thakur. These kirtans were nocturnal kirtans, and after the good devotees had all entered the house, the gate of the house was locked. It was really only permitted for bona fide chanters in the beginning of Mahaprabhu's movement to participate. It was exclusive, in other words. Whenever you do something exclusive, there will be people who feel excluded and angry with you. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement began to feel this reaction by the atheists. One particular atheist, his name was Gopal Chakravarti, wanted to hurt Srivas Thakur's name by doing something very, very bad. Early in the morning, as the kirtan was, I don't know if it was still going on and so on, he put some articles before the house of Srivas Thakur, which were used in tantric mysticism. At that time, tantric mysticism involved to enjoy five substances. Wine was one, meat was another one, and also women, young women was another one. So certain puja articles, which were connected with these tantric rituals, were placed by Gopal Chakravarti before the Srivasangam, the house of Srivas Thakur. He wanted to say to the good citizens of Navadvip who would pass by that house when the sun had risen, that listen, what is really going on in this house in the night are sex orgies, mystic, tantric sex orgies. This is almost as bad as placing, let us say, a whole bunch of hashish before the temple, you know, and then when people come in the morning and they see the hashish, you know, they think, oh yes, that's why the happy Hare Krishnas are so happy. They are smoking and they are intoxicated. This is what it was, really blackmailing. What was in the mind of Gopal Chagravarti. But it didn't work. People came and said, get a street sweeper to sweep away these, how is the English word? Indiscriminating or this bad articles which want to incriminating, thank you very much, incriminating articles. Get a street sweeper. Don't touch them, they are really an intense, heavy. They didn't, in other words, the people knew it was someone who wanted to blackmail Srivas Thakur and give him a bad name, really, who had placed these articles before Srivas Sangam, but Srivas Thakur was engaged with all the associates of the Lord to glorify the Lord, which is the best activity you can do. As a result to this offense, Gopal Chakravarti suffered very much. He developed leprosy on his body. Have you seen leprosy in India? It's really bad. It's like, it looks as if your body, the limbs melt away, as if your body is like a candle and it, they get, you know, these fingers, the nose is gone, and it's very painful. And because leprosy is so bad and so infective also, people are usually requested to go to the edge of the village. They are put into, they may not associate in the village so that they don't pollute the drinking water and with their disease, and lepra doesn't spread any longer. It's a physical and a social problem if you have lepra. So that was the reaction. And one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came by Gopal Chakravarti, who sat at the banks of the Ganga. And Gopal Chakravarti said, my Lord, look at me. Mahaprabhu looked. Please forgive me. I'm suffering so much. I've understood my mistakes. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's the most merciful incarnation, said, I will never forgive you. Life after life, you will suffer lepra. Then the next morning, the Lord came by the same path. Gopal Chakravarti didn't even dare to ask him. And the Lord said, go to Srivas Thakur, ask him for forgiveness. You committed an offense at Srivas Thakur's feet, you have to put everything all right on that level. It's like the logic, you know, when you have a thorn in your foot, you can't try to take it out at the head. You must go to the foot where the problem arose and take it out there. You cannot go to God, who is the head, if you have hurt the foot, the Vaishnava. You must go directly to the Vaishnava. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing very intensely. Gopal Chapal is his name, not Chakravarti. Gopal Chapal is his name. Took that hint and went to Shivas Thakur, fell at the lotus feet of the Lord and said, of Shivas Thakur and said, please forgive me. Shivas Thakur was not even aware any longer. He said, for what? I did this to put dirt on your good name. And Gopal Chapal explained. Shivas Thakur said, don't worry, it's not a problem, it's not a problem. I'm very fallen. any Vaishnava will say. So Gopal Chapal said, no, you have to forgive me. And the sign that by which I will know that you have forgiven me is if you initiate me as your disciple. Shivas Thakur consulted the Vaishnavas. He forgave him, but he told him, you become the disciple of Purushottam Das, another very Vaishnava who was very exalted. Later, Gopal Chapal went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, how can I atone for this Vaishnava aparad which I have made? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu repeated what he had said earlier. He said, if you commit offenses against a Vaishnava by criticizing them, it is like putting poison into your mouth. Gradually, korak pa korak, that poison will destroy all the health in the body and cripple the body and make it very diseased. By the same mouth which you have used to drink poison, you should now drink nectar, amrita, to become strong again. And the nectar which you should drink with your mouth is to praise the Vaishnavas, wherever they are. Now Gopal Chapal took this advice. He was his initiated name is Devakinandan Das Thakur. And he composed a very, very nice book which is praising the Vaishnavas. Now, many Vaishnavas have recommended the last song of this book so that this offensive mentality, which is with all of us, you know, to criticize someone who is different from us, who says something different, who thinks different, is very natural. We are grown up like this. Differences, often, you know, we even say differences in our language carries the connotation that there's trouble in the air. We have our differences. This means there's some trouble between us. Criticizing. But differences are natural if you are different. That is not the same person. A different person will have differences in his views and so on. This shouldn't bring us to the point which the Western civilization teaches us, where differences are, is criticism. No. We have this unity and diversity principle. We should somehow maturely live with it, with our differences, and see how we can maturely deal with them. That's a sign of maturity, really. Because this Vaishnava apparat is such a big issue in spiritual life, you can, by singing this song, meditate and become clear from this. You can praise the Vaishnavas. Would you like to hear a few verses from this song, just to hear the tone of the song and the content? I think after hearing this moving story, you know, we are very interested. What will he write about? How will he now make good of what he did? What does this mean now for him to drink Amrita? This water. Slushati. Brindavana basijata vaishnavera gana pratame vandana kori sabaracharana. First of all, I offer my worship to the lotus feet of the residents of Brindavan, all of whom are Vaishnavas. And then he goes in progression through different devotees. First the poor devotee, he continues with the devotees of Puri, then of Navadvip, then of Godadesh. The circle becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And then he says, Urdhva Bahu. Now this word Urdhva Bahu appears also in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Urdhva Bahu means with arms which are raised into the air. In other words, now he will say really something very important. Imagine I'm giving a lecture and all of a sudden I go like, you will think, no, what will now come? You know, I'm very interested to Slujate now. Listen now. Devakinanda is with upraised arms. The previous offender says, I worship the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's dear devotees wherever they may reside all over the world. Then he becomes very, very humble and he offers obeisances to the creation devotees. Would you like to hear how he offers obeisances to you, Amrita Keli? With straw in my teeth, that means he considers himself as ignorant as cattle, you know, or sheep who take straw in their teeth. With straw in my teeth, I worship the lotus feet of all the servants of Mahaprabhu that ever were in the past or that ever will be in the future. That's us. Past and future. In the Vedas and Puranas, it is said that each of the dear devotees of Srimad Mahaprabhu has the potency to deliver the entire universe. And so, I will jump over a few other verses and then he says what happens to him. Remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's analogy, the mouth which has drunken poison should drink Amrita. Have you ever drunk Amrita? Maybe when you were demigods, the fallen angels here. they know, I don't remember the taste of Amrita. Although, yes, in Remuna, you can even drink Amrita at this present day. It's a Amrita Keli, I think. Amrita something. Amrita. I forgot. It's a certain preparation. So what happens when you drink Amrita? You become very happy. He says, even though I have no speaking power to glorify the Vaishnavas, still I'm feeling great pleasure in my mind. Please overlook my faults, O Vaishnavas, and make me your servant. Yes, so this is how he prays. Now, there is a particular reason why we should serve Vaishnavas. And my dear devotees, this is one of the greatest discovery in my life. I have not actually, I feel very, very blissful to give you this class this morning, because I also didn't know so much. Why is the Lord stressing so much when we want to serve Him? He says, no, go to my devotees, serve them. See, there is a reason. The devotees will carry Krishna in their hearts. This is a song. Ohe Vaishnava Thakura Dayara Sagara Edase Karuna Kori. Sorry, that's not in the song. And it says, Krishna Setoma Krishna Dita Para Daita Vapache Pache. Krishna is yours. It also says, Govinda Vishram, Krishna takes rest in your heart. I am simply running after you, calling Krishna, Krishna. This is how we approach the Vaishnavas. We know they can give us Krishna. They carry Krishna. Although, obviously, there are different levels of Vaishnavas. Now it gets very complicated. Listen very carefully. You know, of course, Krishna is carried more by the great devotees, like Srila Prabhupada. But Krishna has a way to act also through every devotee and teach us something. And if we are just able to read the signs, we will very, very, very much profit from this. This is something we have to learn. Learn to read God's signs to you. And they happen through the devotees. And we learned this by reading in the Chaitanya Bhagavatam last Kartik, in the very last book, the Antya Leela. I'm sorry, I don't have the chapter, but it's verse 383. It's I speculate it's chapter 11, but it's only a speculation from my memory. My memory is very bad with numbers, but you can find it. There is a very mysterious pastime which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells, which I believe will help us all a little bit to understand how Krishna moves. It's a very, very mysterious pastime, which I personally could not understand for 30 years or 32 years. I was always thinking, what is the meaning of this? What is the meaning of this? It's very simply told, the saints and rishis of yore means of old age and the old times, came together to have a huge discussion in which they would determine who is the worshipable Lord, who's to be worshipped as the supreme. Is it Brahma, because he created the universe? Is it Shiva, because he is so powerful to destroy everything? Or should one worship Vishnu? Who is actually the supreme? And in order to find out, they told Bhrigu Muni to investigate Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. So Bhrigu Muni developed a test. In Bhrigu Muni's test, he just wanted to find out, he thought the highest personality is he who is most self-controlled, who's in control of his mind and senses. That was his test. So he came to his father, Lord Brahma, Bhrigu is the mind-born son of Brahma, and he didn't greet him. He just stood before him. You know, when you come to your father, you are expected to say at least something like Dobodan, Tata, or you know, something to acknowledge his presence. But he just didn't say anything. Brahma looked at him. Don't you think you behave a little disrespectful, my son? You are a glupost. Bhrigu Muni knew what he wanted to know. Brahma was agitated. He went to his brother Shiva. He had after committing a non-verbal, but only mental offense, you know, he thought to Brahma, he now was ready to go the next, to increase the heat a little bit in the offense. And so Shiva came to him. He saw Bhrigu. He ran to him to embrace his dear brother. Bhrigu Muni said, don't touch me, don't touch me. You smell a little aggressively. That's really too much. Imagine someone comes to embrace you and you go like, it's a little intense. Your fragrance is a little intense today. Stay away! So Bhrigu said this, and Shiva was fought. His love turned into rage. He took his spear and his trident, and he was actually ready to kill a brahmana early in the morning. He was really ready to do it if Parvati, his wife, would not have stopped him. Shiva said, he felt afterwards not so nice because he had been overwhelmed by anger. Bhrigu knew what he wanted to know. He now went to Vishnu. Vishnu was lying on the couch of Anantashesha, and there was Lakshmi, who was massaging his lotus feet. It was a very intimate marital scene. There were servants who waved with chamara, but it was very intimate. The wife was together with the, the husband was together with the wife in a very intimate situation. Bhrigu came from the back, where Vishnu couldn't see him. And he was now prepared to increase the heat of offense even further. He saw the Lord, then he thought for a while, can I do it? Can I not do it? Then I said, come on, let's not be mental. And he just took his foot and kicked Lord Vishnu on the chest. Hare Krishna. Moksha Rupi, this is intense. You know what Lord Vishnu did. He jumped up from Anantashesha. He bowed down to the lotus feet of Bhrigu Muni and he said, I beg your forgiveness. I was unaware of your arrival. Didn't see you. Water from your feet can purify even places of pilgrimage. All the brahmanas and all the rulers of the planets are in my body, and they have now been purified by the touch of your lotus feet. I'll keep... I keep the mark which your lotus feet has left on my chest and the dust as my supreme ornamentation in life. This is Vishnu. When Prigo heard this, he knew what he wanted to know. He just bowed down and he went to the saints and said, Vishnu, it's Vishnu who's the supreme. Listen what I just experienced. And he told him of his experience. And they all were convinced it's Vishnu, no one else. It's the Lord. Now, my dear devotees, why is this Leela so mystical? You can only understand it if you understand an information which is given in Chaitanya Bhagavat. You, the normal person, you think, why would Brigo devise such a test? I mean, there are many other tests he could have done to see who is the supreme. Why did he design such an impolite and aggressive test? With increasing the heat of apparat. Why? There are other tests which come to mind. Let us think of I don't want to test Vishnu or Krishna. Therefore, I don't want to think of an example. I even feel offensive to think of an example. Or test Brahma or Shiva. Who are we? Let us not even enter this thought experiment. But there are so many tests. Why this test, Venugopal? Have you also thought about it? And how could, another question, how could Brigu do it? Especially the last one. You know, Vishnu is there, the devotees sing his praise, Lakshmi is there, the most beautiful goddess of devotion is massaging the lotus feet. Why kick into the chest? You normally don't. I mean, why? Our intelligence is perplexed at this moment. And who could do it? Just imagine. We meet a good Grihastha couple of this world in a. You know, they're sitting together, they talk very lovingly, and they eat some slatki kish together. And then they eat, you know, whatever they do as grihasthas, an affectionate way they are together. Even if you wouldn't like the man, would you go inside and kick him on the chest in this situation? No, you would say, come out, we have to discuss amongst men something. Come before the door so that we don't break the furniture. You know, this is at least in North Germany you do this. Come before the door, we have to do something amongst men and we don't want to break your furniture. Then you know what is up. Hare Krishna. But you wouldn't, even in North Germany, where all the apparatus are concentrated of Europe, you would not do such an uncivilized act. And even if you would hate the man, wouldn't do it. I'm enjoying your confusion, because for more than 30 years I suffered from the same confusion which you are suffering now. I'm obviously not saying it just very nicely. See, there is always this question in our minds, like, how should we deal with Vaishnavas? And Vaishnavas are on different levels, and what we hear now, does this mean that when a Vaishnava makes a mistake, we should just accept it humbly? And what does this mean? You know, this is often a question. I don't know if you had this question, but you know, should I behave nicely, to every devotee in every situation of my life? I mean, then where is things like justice and proper behavior? Well, this Leela makes a very important point. You can only by the mercy of Krishna you can understand a great Vaishnava. It's difficult to understand Vaishnavas, and it's also difficult how the Lord acts through the Vaishnavas. In this case, the Lord acted through Bhrigu Muni by making him do what he did. This is in Chaitanya Bhagavatam. It is described that the Lord personally inspired Bhrigu Muni from within his heart to do what he did, because he wanted to make a point to respect Brahmanas. That was his desire, and therefore he moved him. So I very much think also that it's nice to see like this, that Vaishnavas are moved by Krishna. This also, Vaishnavas speak a language which we understand. And with language, I do not just mean Croatian language or German language or Bosnian language or Serbian language. I mean just their activities spell out a language which we can see and understand. See, only Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of this wonderful work, Chaitanya Bhagavat, he writes, only by the mercy of Krishna can one understand who is a great Vaishnava. I have found a wonderful solution to this problem, to find out who is a good devotee or not. One should always glorify all Vaishnavas and behave humbly with all. Mm. My dear devotees, let us try to see Vaishnavas on this level. We should see they're trying to give their lives to Krishna. They're trying their best. They have their struggles, most properly, like we have. They have their doubts, like we have. But Krishna nevertheless uses them as writing pens to give us messages. And we can, for instance, the message of tolerance and of kindness, no matter what. And on one level, we should always keep this in mind. Obviously, when devotees do commit mistakes, when devotees do act in ways which are improper, when devotees carry and behavior which is unacceptable according to their own standards even, then a response needs to be done on that level. That's very important. But still, this other level needs to be kept in mind. I want to now talk about quarrels in the marriage. Both man and husband are devotees of Krishna, but they also meet each other in the not always easy duality of the man's mind and the woman's mind. They are unfulfilled expectations which both of them have in each other. So they then start to quarrel. I know of a couple who is the world master in quarrels. They have broken a few furnitures already. this is not good, because Vaishnava apparats are conducted. Obviously, there may be some issues and problems which do need to be carried out, but there needs to be respect. Therefore, before you marry, find out if you can respect the person. As a devotee, there needs to be this respect which keeps the relationship together. Or let us talk in a temple. In a temple, sometimes there are, maybe when we build the temple, someone hammers with his hammer on our foot. Oh, this is the fifth time where you banged on my foot. I begin to assume that you have a hatred towards me. So, there's now a difference. One feels hurt and the other just hurt him. You should learn in this situation to look at two levels. There are Vaishnava, the other person is a Vaishnava who just banged on your foot. The Vaishnava is, he is trying to serve Krishna by building the temple, but he banged you on the foot. So on that other level, a solution needs to be brought about. Maybe you need to stand 1 meter in the distance from him next time. Or maybe you have to solve it on other levels. Those of you who know the language of analogies have understood that with this analogy, I wanted to humorously and kindly address the problems which we hammer often on our nerves. That type of problem. So if you never lose this first consideration out of sight, then you can deal from that platform with a human consideration where things need to be clarified. But if you lose the first consideration out of your mind, that this is a Vaishnava, a servant of Lord Krishna, then you will never ever be able to solve the human differences in a mature way. You will always turn in circles and circles and circles and not come to a solution. Solutions require a different perspectives. Then you can come to a solution. This is the spiritual perspective of Jesus Christ would say, hate the sin and not the sinner. He had this perspective. It's a little, this plays a little bit into our observation. So for concluding now, I would like to say how a devotee should act with devotees. The reason why I'm saying this is because every temple needs to be built 2 times. Oh, hey. Sundarananda might now say, oh please, 1 time is enough, not a second time. No. You need to think of Vaishnava relationships. That's the mystical formula. In Split, I told the devotees of the tremendous progress which the Sarajevo Yatra has made. Sarajevo, there were many times little problemskis. We built maybe 50 temples or dissolved them. 50 is too much. 5 maybe or 3. I'm sorry, I'm exaggerating. But now there seems to be something growing up which is so beautiful and so precious that I was very, very much, humbled even. I was seeing this and I was very charmed. They have learned a very nice it comes over Mahaprabhu, as far as I can see, who has learned this from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. Radhanath Maharaj's phenomenal success in building Vaishnav communities is really because he stresses so much on this point which we are discussing. Become the humble servant of the Vaishnavas. That you almost find it in every lecture which he gives. Almost. That's his core message. I mean, he has many, many, many messages as well. I don't want to say that his messages are restricted to this message. No, no, no. There are many. But that is a very nice. And now Niranjana Maharaj is also applying it very nicely. He has written a book called Caring for the Vaishnavas. We have seen this book. It's in English up till now, and in Russian. It is obtainable in the ISKCON market. It's a nice application of those principles. And Hari Bhakti Vilas really gives some rules how we should be with Vaishnavas. One should greet a devotee. When a devotee is there, we should actually greet them. Dobrodošli. In Swedish, you would say, Trevlig att se dig. So nice to see you. And then, we should joyfully offer obeisances to the devotee. Please accept my humble obeisances. I'm so glad to see you now. Knowing that here comes a devotee who is able to purify the three worlds. Now, what should we do if a Vaishnava offers harsh words to us? Has it happened to you? It happens. If a person remains tolerant even after hearing harsh words from a devotee, offers the devotee's obeisances and converses with the devotee, then there is no doubt that this person is a Vaishnav. So when someone is harsh with you, remain tolerant. Continue to offer obeisances. Talk with the devotees. Don't, in other words, in modern communication language, you would say, don't have the communication breakdown. Because as long as there is communication, there is a possibility to change the differences. When the communication stops, you cannot overcome the difference. So keep a line of communication. Then when you can do this, there is no doubt that you are a Vaishnav. This is from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, 10th chapter, or Vilas means waves, text number 32. Greet Vaishnavas, joyfully offer obeisances, and if you get some purification from the Vaishnava, as we say, if you get some harsh words, remain tolerant, offer obeisances, and continue to communicate. Then if you can do this, you are for sure a Vaishnava. Hare Krishna. I think this is very practical, isn't it? Very practical. We can apply this and learn from it. We were discussing all this in the perspective of welcoming the Lord through the Vaishnavas, welcoming His arrangements. Tomorrow morning we will go to the incarnations of the Lord and hear about this, them. I have finished now. I see you are all very attentive. Thank you very much. I hope it was practical. Oh, Krishna. Oh, Vaishnavas. Please help me to apply these high principles. Oh, Krishna. I will make now a private comment. I know it's not easy what I say, what I have just said. I am also a human being, temperamentful human being. That's why I feel so close to all of you. When I first came to Belgrade, I told the devotees, I thought in my last life I was a street sweeper in Belgrade who found some spiritual literature on the street or something. I feel just so connected to this Slavic mentality. And I know it's when you live with a temperament and with a mind who... But see, there is a reason why we are always told communities of Vaishnavas, we are so much treasures, because in them we are formed. And usually you see that when you are with Vaishnavas, they touch your blind spots. Do you know what are blind spots? You can't see this with your own eyes. A blind spot, for instance, is for me here. I can never see this point. Only if Madhavananda would now go behind me, he would be able to see this point. But I already make eye exercises, but it's not possible to see this blind spot. That's a blind spot in the physiological sense, but it's the heavy blind spots are in our characters. We can't see. Nashan character. Yes. And when you get upset with someone, it means it's here in this area where you have to learn. Those who are in marriage relationships, they know this. They know this. It can become so painful if someone doesn't want to learn. If someone doesn't want to ask the question, why am I so upset with this behavior of the other person? What's with me? Why does this resonate so much with me? It seems I have some strings which resonate on the same tone. The same tone? You can look this afternoon, our Chapa, who has so kindly come from Sarajevo to make our lives successful, he has a sita, and you can see, he can show you. If you make a bling, one melody string, then the resonance strings go. You can watch with your own eyes. Even if Chapa allows me, I will show you in the afternoon, in the Sunday feast. We can just show, and with Chapa's help, I will not make any mistake, and you can see. Why is it there? Because they have the same, Chapa, here you have to help me. Is it the same tone or the same octave? There's some connection. It's the same harmony. Yes, it's the same harmony. The musical, there is a connection, in other words, between the melody string and the, is it called the resounding string or the resounding or resonance string. There is a connection. So there's always a connection when you are seeing, when you are affected by someone's behavior. And it means it has something to do with you. Krishna. Otherwise, you wouldn't react. You would see when another string is resounded, that same string will be silent. Only when the string comes up where the connection is, it goes. But if it's only with this, then it gets moved. a connection. Dobro. So now we will see what are your enlightened questions. What are your questions? There is our Devashi Narada, our Madhuchanda Prabhu. This Madhuji, your good name, please. Irmela. Emira. Elmina. Wonderful. Emina. And Anandini and let's see, Madhavananda, and in the Croatian department is one. Your good name? Ante. Dobro. So who was first? You are here. Good. Good. I was thinking, yes. Devashi Narada. Reci. In Vaikuntha there is no, what did you say? Distress or no fight. Fight. No fighting, yes. This was my question also, Devashi Narada. The answer is because Krishna made him do it. He was in the heart and he just wanted to do this leela, and because he wanted to show greatness by this test, being able to tolerate someone other's wrongdoing. It was wrong. I mean, that was wrong to do that. That was really out of taste. Greatness is shown by tolerance. It's also said the greatness of a Vaishnava is measured in his ability to forgive. Hare Krishna, if you are able to forgive. It said, I'm sorry, not the greatness of the Vaishnava, the greatness of a saint, it's the same thing. This comes from Chanakya Pandit. This is the source of this statement. Okay, second question please. Madhuchandan. Thinking bad about a devotee, yes.
Just a disappear.
No. Have you understood the question? Thoughts, negative thoughts about devotees appear and disappear. What's with them? In Kali Yuga, the offenses which you make in the mind are not counted. There's one answer. Now I heard a very intriguing, different answer. It comes from... from Gorgovinda Maharaj. Gorgovinda Maharaj said that when a devotee is in Krishna consciousness, he is not actually in Kali Yuga in the sense of participating in Kali Yuga. You can see this when we live really different, isn't it? We have a different lifestyle than all the people. We eat different things. We meditate 2 hours a day. And you know, it's more Satya Yuga. And in Satya Yuga, the offenses committed in the mind count. How to bring the two together? It doesn't count. it counts. This is now a very personal answer. I have not seen it in any scripture, but this is what my own understanding tells me. The offenses count if you entertain them. In other words, if you keep the thoughts and you keep mulling over them, mulling or going over them, I have spoken to you in the language of the mind, you know, and you just go, continue. The words of the mind, you know. And you should just say, please go, like you do when there is a bad wind happening and leaving your sacred body. You go, open the window, let it go to the sum total of the air. And don't entertain the wind, you know. Entertain means like keep it. I'm sorry. This is not a very nice. I'm sorry for the. I know my examples are sometimes not good. Please forgive me. But we have seen if you entertain thoughts, then they do count at one stage. This is in psychosomatic diseases. They know that all of this negative thought, it makes a disease. Krishna. When I was very ill in the mountain Tara of Serbia, I had to learn this lesson. When you think bad, you can throw away your body even. It gets to you. In other words, the mind does influence the physical reality. Especially we devotees should have bright thoughts. We should not have dark thoughts. Dobro. There was another question, please. Emina. Hare Krishna. Which we make accidentally. Yeah. What is with offenses which we create unintentionally? You understand this word, unintentionally and intentionally? Offenses are really only when there is an intent behind it, something behind it. Then the other things are mistakes. Yeah, please keep this in mind, because in this world we do make mistakes and it's not that now after this lecture you should walk like almost you expect every meter to step on a bomber, you know, of offense. Then you become paranoid, you know. Better don't say anything. Better don't act. No. It's very clear. Don't we all know this, you know, that some people come into the temple room with their shoes on. This is very inquisitive, and you happen to come and see them with the shoes in the temple room, and then you look at the people, what now? And then you find they're just not accustomed to take their shoes off when they enter into buildings, and then you politely, you know, will say, gentlemen, your shoe. This is an Indian temple, and you give the reason why shoes are kept outside. He may not know that they carry dirt. This is a, for me, it was a new, no, I knew. I mean, from North Germany, we also take out our shoes before we enter a house. But I saw in South Germany, they don't do this. They enter with their street shoes, the house. And when I put my shoes out, they always say, no. I don't know why. They, please, no need. Everyone walks like this. Only in the bathroom you have to take the shoes out in South Germany, if you are cultured. I don't know why. Maybe because there's water and then the dirt is leaving something on the... But so he may have entered with the... No, there's not an offense for him. But if you would do this with your knowledge, it wouldn't be the right thing. Yeah. Krishna. There was another devotee. Let us see. Yes. Ante. Please, Reci. This is called a loaded question. It comes from military. You know, there is a bullet, and then they have all dynamite behind it. And then they have to ignite the dynamite. And then the bullet starts moving. So it's a loaded question means there's something behind it, which I cannot know and therefore not answer. And most probably it would not be appropriate to deal with this in a public assembly. Or there could be, let me say, there could be something behind it. I can talk about the principle that the master is responsible for the activities of his servant. It's his responsibility. So if a servant commits a mistake, the master is responsible for this. Therefore, we need to represent, for instance, we need to be representatives of our spiritual master. Many devotees have applied this type of meditation before an activity. What would my spiritual master do now? How would he solve this question? And then they act as in a way which is worthy to the spiritual master. But if the pupil acts in a wrong way, it really puts a question mark even to the spiritual master. I would like to give you an example from martial arts, Ante. Do you know what is martial arts? Yes, you know. Now, let us assume someone is in one school where there is an expert martial arts teacher, and this pupil enters into a combat situation, maybe a contest, and he does an activity which is in the contest. This is just so bad, you know, like kicking the person he engages in combat with it at a place where you're not supposed to kick. Then this puts immediately a question to the school. In what school did this guy learn? You know, where does he learn that such behavior is acceptable? Then you would say, well, if it's in the school where everything is allowed, you know, even these things, then you would say, oh, whew, these guys never engage in some sport with them, you know. Immediately the question is, where did he learn this unexpected activity? And the question would go to his teacher. Did the teacher teach him that? In the science of self-realization, there is such an incident that two book distributors had upset, from the letter you can see, two nice people on the street, and that these people wrote to Prabhupada. Yeah, you know, shouldn't you teach your disciples to be a little bit more kind on the street when they distribute books? There was a very natural question which came up in the mind of these. It's a justified question. And Prabhupada took the long time to explain the behavior of his disciples. He said, that's not the ideal. They are still immature. That's not what we teach here. But please also understand them. They are, and they are tense, you know, they are beginners. They are not yet there. Please be kind to them. But he said, that's not what we learn in Krishna consciousness. Thank you. Thank you, Ante. So now we have to sincerely ask ourselves where to go from here. It is 9 minutes after 10. And most probably more, because it's 10 o'clock. Oh, good. You have saved 9 minutes. There was one last question. Yes, Anandini's last question is there. Crying, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Anandini has written a biography of the, or you know, a work where the behavior of the devotees is described. She noted that when the devotees said goodbye to each other, they were really crying. Their hearts would break. And that's also in another work which I'm at the moment reading. I'm reading Prema Vilas. It's also a very good book. And yes, they're just described how even the guru would cry to see his disciple go on a mission. He would cry from, and they would not, for days they would not know how to, you know, they would be very miserable. And this shows us a little bit the loving relationships which were there amongst the Vaishnavas. In other words, at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Vaishnavas they had embodied the teachings of Mahaprabhu, which we repeat here, about good Vaishnav relationships. They would love each other so much that they would just cry. In fact, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is one question. Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, what's the greatest misery or greatest pain in this world? What would you say? Foot amputation. Or, you know, what's another misery? What? Imprisonment can be very miserable. Giving birth, have you experienced? what you say is correct. The man, if he would have to tolerate the same intense feelings, he would die. But the woman has been given with a certain mechanism, not mechanism, a certain tolerance, pain tolerance for this type of pain. Otherwise, they are often more sensitive. But for this type of pain, that they can live through this. Not everyone now is, it's not always as painful, but it can be quite intense. So. Our Ramananda Roy, he overlooks all these definitions of pain which you have given, and he says separation from the devotee is the greatest pain. That means they had relationships which at this moment we don't have. See, you must know we are influenced by our times. For instance, by this computer communication. Now comes my strong point. Or with handy. I was talking to one devotee, and they were like, in the span of 15 minutes, he received, I don't know, 5 SNMs, what is it, whatever it is, the new modern communication. And so on. You will see by this type of communication, or the communication will be changed. This wasn't, for instance, if you are not careful, you stop saying important things to each other. The other one is always on the handy, and you just call him for this, that. I know when you make an appointment, for instance, nowadays, modern, the way we make appointment, we see each other, sit down, this date, this time, please give me everything I need to know, and then I come, ping. But the modern time, there are about 50 phone calls, about one meeting. Because it's always so easy to get the other person, and you don't really think what you want to say. You might become more superficial after some time. I mean, now I will balance my statement. Computer communication has very great advantages. I'm too foolish to use these things, but I don't want to say they're not useful. They're very, very useful extremely useful for many things. But I'm just saying everything comes with a side effect. Communication does change a person's life, or other modern things. Do you know how much the invention of electricity has changed the human thinking and the human habits? For instance, in the night, you can just read the whole night with electricity. That was not so easily possible in the time without electricity. We can hear music, good music with electricity, just plug it in, and we hear the masters of music. In the time when there was no electricity, people had to make music themselves, and these beautiful bhajans and so on were developed. Everyone could sing, everyone could, you know. Our society, what I want to say, has influenced our way of thinking, our way of acting, our way of, and so on, and therefore, also our relationships, Anandini, have been affected in some ways. When we say goodbye, we don't break down and just cry. And it's also not cool to cry in public, in our... One professor friend of mine told me that this is very interesting, that someone had died, some nice person, and the Japanese president was in some political meeting, and they were informed about the death of a person whom they all know, maybe Mother Teresa or someone, and everyone then said something. Then it came the term to the Japanese president. Do you know what happened to him? Before the cameras of the world, he just broke down. And he did not see anything wrong to continue. He was just crying, because it's acceptable in Japan to cry. Nothing wrong. It's like it's acceptable in our society to laugh. But no, it's really to cry in public, you know. We try everything to avoid this public defamation, you know. Our society changes. That's why we don't we cannot maybe understand what was happening at that time, or we feel moved, or we feel how special. You know, when we went with a concert tour with Krishna Kirtan and some other devotee, Nityananda Pran, do you remember? Very nice Kirtaniyas from Bangladesh. And they would start their concerts always like this. When you hear our music, we hope that you will cry in transcendental ecstasy. And then I had to translate it. Wenn Sie unsere Musik hören, tragen wir in uns die stille Hoffnung, dass Sie weinen werden. You can't say this in Germany. But in Bangladesh, first sign, Oh, hey, Vaishnava, they start to cry with great appreciation. It's a different culture. So this may be some attempts to answer your question, Anandini, Hare Krishna. So I know that there are more questions. I feel very honored. Keep the questions in somewhere, and we can ask them amongst yourself. There are many learned Vaishnavas here, and they can give the answers maybe much better than me. I better stop here because time is also there. Thank you very much, and take something with you from this lecture. I'm deeply convinced that the success of the Sarajevo Yatra is just it's just wonderful, and maybe you have to learn. We have to learn about this because we are from a different culture. We have been influenced differently. We can invite devotees and teach us to what is important when we want to keep nice Vaishnava relationships. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisgonitai ki, Gaura Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bol.